Welcome back to the story of the Daybells, the demise of the Daybells. This is part two in our series, Lori's fourth and deadly marriage. Let's pick up where we left off. After her divorce from Joseph Ryan in 2004, Lori met Charles Vallo, one of her clients from the salon that she worked at. They were married in Las Vegas 2 years later. He had two children from a previous marriage, and Lori entered the marriage with her two children, Colby and Tylee. Although raised Catholic, he converted to the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, his new wife's faith. Friends reported that the couple seemed happy early in their marriage. Her son Colby thought his mother was also looking for stability and someone to take care of her, saying, "My mom grew up as a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. She always had a belief in Christ and saw through a lot of brokenness and hurt. I think my mom always looked for stability, looked for someone who would take care of her." Charles' ex-wife, Cheryl, shared custody of their two boys with him. The boys spent weekends, summers, and alternated holidays with their dad. Lori and Cheryl met at one of the boys' basketball games, and Cheryl thought she was a nice woman. But she soon became concerned about her mental state. In an interview with East Idaho News, Cheryl said that there were a lot of strange things that happened in Charles and Lori's home, to the point that the judge had ordered cameras to be put in their home to protect the children. That sounds normal. Nothing of concern was ever found in the videos, though. Cheryl and Charles were involved in a custody dispute at the same time Lori was in the same situation with her ex, Joseph Ryan, who was attacked by Lori's brother, Alex Cox, and was in the hospital for several days after the attack. In 2013, the Daybells adopted JJ, the son of Charles' niece, and in 2014, they moved from Arizona to Hawaii, where they operated a small business, taking Colby, Tylee, and JJ with them. April Raymond met Lori while they were living in Hawaii, where they were both members of the LDS Church. They became good friends with Lori, felt that they had a very solid marriage, but she soon discovered otherwise. Lori didn't feel like Charles was her spiritual equal, and she felt that Lori wanted someone at the spiritual level she felt she was. She thought Charles was holding her back. During this time, her beliefs had become more extreme. She told April that she had been in touch with an angel, Moroni, and he communicated with her frequently. She felt like the Lord was gathering his people. When the family moved back to Arizona, Lori started preparing for the end times and the second coming. She also began listening to a podcast, and through that show, she met Melanie Gibb and others who shared her more extreme beliefs. And she began reading books written by Chad Daybell. Daybell had also been raised in the LDS Church, and in the beginning, his views aligned with that of the church. However, as his beliefs changed, he was excommunicated from the church. Beliefs a little bit too extreme for even the LDS Church. Daybell started his own publishing company and published 25 books, dealing with themes like the end of time, near-death experiences, and grave digging. His fringe beliefs eventually led him to think that he had become a prophet with the capacity to foretell the end of the world and would assist in bringing a select group of people to a heavenly reward. See how he connects the dots there? Totally logical and reasonable human being, right? Through his writings, he attracted a small cult following of doomsday preppers who were ready for the end of the world. They believed in Daybell's view of prior lives as well as demon-possessed zombies. Lori and her friend Melanie Gibb went to a Preparing a People conference where Chad was speaking and doing a book signing. And according to Gibb, he and Lori hit it off. By the end of that weekend, Chad had told Lori when they met that they had been married multiple times before in previous lives. Daybell believed there would be an apocalypse and 144,000 chosen ones would be saved. The chosen ones would carry on the work of God in Rexburg, Idaho, the New Jerusalem, with a Taco Bell coming soon. Okay, I added that part in. He thought he'd become their leader with his books. It would be like scriptures. As Lori began a relationship with Chad Daybell, her life with Charles Vallo was falling apart. On January 30th, 2019, Charles was in Houston on a business trip, and while he was away, Lori canceled his return flight and had Alex take his car from the airport and remove all his belongings from their home. Lori claimed that Charles was unfaithful and was possessed by a dark spirit by the name of Ned Schneider. Okay, can we do that line one more time? But we need to make Ned Schneider sound a little more dramatic. Okay, here we go. Possessed by a dark spirit by the name of Ned Schneider. Okay, I like that better. When Charles got home from his business trip, he went to his home but didn't attempt to enter the house as he was unsure what he might find. So he called the police. What follows is the police cam audio of the police talking with him outside of his home. You've probably heard small clips of this encounter here and there on TV shows. What we have for you is the entire police interaction outside of his home. This takes a little while, but it's worth the listen. Here you go.
Why don't you come over here? So what's going on tonight?
I can't get in touch with my kids.
How old are your kids?
6 and a half and 16. Okay.
How long have you been trying?
2 days.
Okay.
But she's lost her mind. I don't know how else to say it. We're LDS. She thinks she's a resurrected being and a God and member of the 144,000. She's come. Jesus is coming next year. She took all the money out of her bank account today. My truck is gone from the airport. She went to the airport and got it. I just flew in from Houston, from Dallas. Houston and Dallas. So
where's your truck?
I don't know. Okay. A good friend of mine's truck picked me up. I went to the CSI to file a report, which is the community bridges or something. File a report.
So you did. You did the petition.
Yeah. They ordered a pickup.
Okay. What time did you do that?
Hour and a half ago.
Okay. So what makes her a danger to herself and
to
others?
She threatened me, murdered me, killed me.
She threatened to murder you?
Yes. And she said,
how did she do that?
My bishop right there is in the car. He was on the phone with me today when she said, I will have you destroyed, is what she said there.
Okay, that's not a threat to kill you.
Yesterday was a threat to kill me.
What did she say yesterday?
She said, you're not Charles. I don't know who you are, what you did with Charles, but I can murder you now with my powers.
Okay.
All right. Says I'm gonna kill you too.
She's speaking as a spiritual being.
She's not here. She's okay. Lost her reality.
Is this just all recent, or has it been going on?
It's been going on for about 4 or 5 years. It's gotten really, really bad lately. She goes to the temple every day and speaks with Moroni and Jesus Christ, and they tell her what to do. And now she came to her today, and last couple of days she says, I'm not Charles. You're not Charles. You're Nick Schneider. I don't know where she gets his names from. She got all this stuff from these people in Utah who tell her how many past lives she's had and probation she's had. And she's was married to Moroni back way back when, and she's also married to James the Just. And
okay, this is all foreign to me. So
it's foreign to me.
Well, I'm not LDS.
It's crazy stuff.
I know you're using LDS terms here.
She's nonsensical.
Okay.
And I haven't seen my.
Is he the older one or the younger one?
He's young. He's 6 and a half years old.
Okay.
Okay. I want to do this now. You've got a pickup order. Am I correct?
We do.
Okay. If she doesn't answer,
mm-hmm.
What do we do?
If she doesn't answer, we can't enforce the order.
Can I break into my house?
Do you live here?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
It's my lease. I pay the lease.
Do you guys have any orders of protections against you?
No, we do not.
No police reports?
No, nothing.
Okay. So how does she pose a threat to your children?
I don't know what she's going to do with them. I don't know if she's going to flee with them. She's going to hurt them.
You don't even know if she's here, right?
Today on the phone. I can't. All the cars are, the garage is closed. I don't know. She locked the garage door.
I know.
I haven't been up there yet.
I know. Hold on.
Sorry.
What I'm saying is, do you normally park 2 vehicles in the garage, inside the garage?
Correct.
Okay. So it's a possibility that her car and your truck are inside there?
I don't think she could fit my truck in her car at the same time. She may put them somewhere else. She said to me, all your stuff is gone. Charles' stuff is gone. Okay. You're not Charles. Your stuff is gone. I don't know what that
means. And how long have you been trying to get in touch with the kids?
Since yesterday.
Since yesterday? Like last night or yesterday morning? Or?
About landed in Houston Tuesday about 10.
Okay. Why did you leave?
There's a trip in Houston.
Okay. And when did you leave?
Tuesday morning about 5 a.m.
Okay. Tuesday. All right. Well, it's
Wednesday night.
So you left yesterday?
Yeah.
You left yesterday morning.
Mm-hmm.
Flew to Houston.
Mm-hmm.
Flew back today.
Tonight. She canceled my flight. She came to the airport, took my truck.
Did she tell you that?
No, it's. She knows the code. She knows where it's parked. She went.
Did she go with you to the airport?
No, but she's been. I go to the airport. I fly 45 round trips a year. She knows where I park. I've got handicap plates because JJ's handicapped.
So, did you file a stolen vehicle report with Phoenix?
I know she took it.
How do you know? You suspect.
I suspect.
Okay.
I suspect. All right. I know your term. So.
Okay.
Yeah. But
without concrete evidence, we can't say.
I suspect.
Sure. Okay.
And she has the keys, the code. It's a Ford. The code, door code.
Door code.
And I just want to see my boys okay. And she's got a pickup order. I need to go. She needs to go. And I'm going to take my stuff.
So you normally live here?
Yeah, I live here.
Okay.
Yeah. All my stuff's in my house.
Okay.
We got a service dog in there. Beautiful dog. My daughter's in the front window right there.
So let me ask you this. When you came back, why didn't you just go to the home?
Because she told me not to come near it. All my stuff is gone.
Okay.
I'm not stupid. She could have done anything.
Okay.
I thought this would be the best way to do it. With what she's gone through and what Gabe witnessed with me on the phone today, I thought it was best to have her. She's psychologically, she's gone. Something's happened to her.
How old is she?
45.
45?
Beautiful.
So if we talk to her, is she going to be able to have a rational conversation with her?
Oh, she will. I'm sure she will.
Okay.
Yeah, she's just.
She'll probably tell me I'm crazy, huh? Is that what you suspect?
Probably. Okay. You're a dark spirit, but she's going to tell you.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm a dark spirit. Gabe's with me. He's our bishop. He's going to be a dark spirit, whatever that means. You're evil.
And you said this has been going on for like 4 years?
Well, it's to an extent, but it's gotten really bad the last several months. And I've been trying to ignore it because hoping it'll get better.
Is she on any medications?
No. She won't do medications.
Has she been to a doctor?
No, she won't go to the doctor because she's a translated being, and they would find out she's translated. She cannot be killed. She cannot die.
And that's what she thinks?
Yes.
Okay. She's been telling you that?
Yes, and Gabe too.
Okay.
He heard this, not just me. This is a coming. I love her to death. This is a killer, the officer.
Well, I can understand.
Our 13th anniversary next month. We've been at a great marriage. All of a sudden, the last month just blew up.
Mm-hmm.
She just lost connection.
Okay. Has she made any statements about wanting to hurt the children or anything?
Today, she said with Gabe on the phone, come take the kids. I don't care what happens to them. Come take them.
Okay, but she didn't make a direct threat towards the kids.
No, not a direct threat.
Okay. And then she said that she would murder you through a spiritual...
No, she said, I can murder you.
I can murder you.
I will kill you.
Spiritual.
No, she talks in physically. I will kill you because you're not Charles, and nobody will care.
Okay. So she at this point doesn't think you are her husband?
She thinks I'm Mick Schneider.
Who's Mick Schneider?
I have no idea.
Okay.
It's the name she used. I don't know where it came from.
Okay.
I'm as bewildered as you are. This is so foreign to me. Normal people, as far as I'm concerned, but this happens. It just drives me. I don't know what to do. I need help, and she needs help. She needs help. And I'll go to bed. I got a lot of stuff to do tomorrow. I got to take my son.
And you just didn't want to go inside because of the statements that she made.
She took my car and my keys. I suspect she took my car and my keys. I have no keys to get in.
Oh, okay.
I have no garage door opener.
Okay.
She knows what she's doing. She took $35,000 out of our bank account today. I can't make payroll Friday for my company. She changed our bank account numbers. I had to change it myself to get back in, and I saw all the money's gone. I've got $7 in my name.
So, what's your first name again?
Charles.
Charles. Charles lives here with his wife and two children. Charles was away on
There's
business.
Third nephew upstairs. His name is Zach. He's 19. He's our nephew. He's been staying with us.
Have you tried to call him?
He won't call me back either.
Why won't he call you back?
I don't know.
Okay.
That's what I'm worried about. I hope they're okay, but I don't know.
It's valid.
All right. So his question is, he lives here. There's no orders against either one of them. If we can't make contact.
If he wants to let us in, now we're doing a 670 check.
I don't know how to get in. I could have to break the window. I could try to...
Where I was going with this, he was in Houston on a business trip, and then he flies back in to Sky Harbor, and his truck's gone. He suspects that she went there and took the truck. He doesn't know.
He's my wallet in it, so.
Right. So, all right. Is it this house or the one with the flashing lights?
Right there.
On the side of the road.
Oh, where those palm trees are?
Yeah. And I can try the key code on the garage. I don't know if they changed it or not. I think I know the code. We just moved in January 1st. And Gabe Bonilla here lives right down the corner. He will tell you if you were on the phone with her today with me. I patched it in and she said all that stuff.
Does she have any weapons inside the house?
Yes, she does.
She does?
A rifle.
Does she know how to use it?
I don't know if she knows how to use it. I don't know.
Do you have an alarm system?
No. Okay. Oh, there you go. Cars are all gone. I don't know where my kids are.
Place in here, like she might have taken off somewhere.
All four cars are gone.
Oh, you have four cars.
Yeah. Our daughter has one. Zach, our nephew, has one. I have my truck, and she has an Infiniti.
Okay.
I don't know where my son is.
Who's the oldest?
House, you have the right to force entry, so.
Who's the oldest child?
Tyler, I'm three in college, so they're gone.
Who lives here? That's
Ty
the oldest.
Is 16. Zach is 19. He's our nephew. He's living here.
Okay. And you tried calling him?
Yes.
Why won't he answer?
I don't know. He won't answer. She's got him buffaloed too. I don't know what she told him.
Okay.
And then back doors and everything?
There's back doors, but they're locked up. Trapped out of the door.
You already checked them?
Yeah. Well, I'm going to see you. But there's a key to the, I got to adjust this gate. You have to pull to go to the back door. I don't know what I do if you drop out a stolen car report in my truck.
Yeah, you'll have to call, it was at Sky Harbor, right? You'll have to call Phoenix police and they'll get all your information. You don't have a hidden key?
No, it's in the house.
So it's not hidden.
JJ can open it, but we have to keep those locks really
clean. Understand.
He's a runner.
So the dog is gone too?
Obviously, he'd be barking. He doesn't bark much. He's a service dog. Very well trained, but he would be barking. They wouldn't leave him here. He's a part of the family. So I'm going to go try the back door. I may break the window. Okay.
It's up to you if you want to break the window. If I was going to break something, I'd probably break your garage door. Because you can still secure your garage, but your window is broken.
Just check the windows, and if it's not locked, come back. Or if it's locked, come back.
Just so I open that door?
Yeah, that would be my suggestion, is if you're going to break something, break that door, because you can still lock it in your garage.
You want to check your front door, make sure it's not unlocked?
It's, that gate is locked out of the room, trust me, I know. It's just, it's there. So there's just a big deadbolt here.
All right, well.
Kick it in.
One swift kick will do it.
I'd do a mule kick. Let's try that first. You got to get closer to the...
This is not easy to look on TV, is it?
Oh, at least the deadbolt work.
Jeez. I'm going to get my luggage and Gabe get out of here before he gets that this late anyway. Gabe, come on over. Drop one up.
The police accompanied Charles into the house. They were able to get in through the garage, but Chad had to kick a door in to enter the home. He found all his belongings missing. He asked for a mental evaluation of his wife. The next morning, Charles went to JJ's school in the hopes of meeting Lori when she dropped him off. He saw her purse in the car and took it to keep her from leaving, as he wanted to have the police serve Lori with a mental health petition. However, according to the police report, Lori had her keys on her. A few hours later, Lori went to the Gilbert police station to report her purse stolen by Charles. She told the police a very different story than her husband's account of what happened. And now for your listening enjoyment, the multiple personalities of Lori Daybell. This is her interview with police when she showed up to talk about her stolen purse. Never mind that she took all of her husband's possessions and removed them from the home, canceled his airline ticket, and removed his car from the airport. She's the victim, remember? Take a listen.
You have to go with this one?
No, I won't fit with those handles.
No? So I wasn't going to file a report, but my friend who is a police officer told me to file a report.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. It's just good to have it on record, so...
Yeah, okay, I got a little bit of info from dispatch. Yeah. Said he stole your phone and your purse.
Why don't
you
tell us what happened? So yesterday I got in an argument with my husband on the phone, and he was in Texas working, and I found some stuff that he'd been doing, so he was really defensive. And so I took the kids. We spent the night in a hotel because I knew he was coming home. And so this morning when I took my son, when I went into the school to take him into school, he was waiting somewhere and like stole my purse out of the car, my whole purse. So my phone, my wallet, my money, my everything was in there. So I had the door locked, but the sunroof was open because we have a service dog and he was in the car, and I didn't want to, my son was kind of throwing a fit. I didn't want to get them both out of the car because it was a mess this morning. Mm-hmm. And we didn't have any of our stuff because we spent the night in the hotel and he was out of his element. And so I didn't lock the door for like the first time ever. And he like, whatever, either got it out of, I don't remember if the door was locked, he got it out, or he reached through the sunroof and just got it.
Okay.
But then he started texting all my family and all my friends and impersonating me and tried and got my friend lured over to the house to meet him, where he had like kicked in the door to get into the house and stuff, so.
And he did that this morning?
Last night.
Last night, okay.
So I'm glad we went there.
So. Right, okay.
That's what I got there, I'm like, Lori? Where's Lori?
But he texted her from my phone because he was pretending to be me, saying, oh, come meet me at the house, and whatever.
Okay. What did he say to you then?
He said, can you come to the house now?
And then when you get...
Sure, yeah.
Okay.
And I proceeded to act like he was himself.
Do you have the text messages on your phone?
I don't know my phone, but when I got there, I said, you've been using Lori's phone to connect with me. He goes, sorry, I've deceived you. I said, oh, okay, yeah, you did. And luckily, there were some other people there that were...
So he was changing the locks and probably got the door fixed where he kicked it in. So that
the locksmiths were there, so I'm glad that they were there. But there was a white Suburban, which I don't know. It was up in there. I don't know where he got that car. But anyway, there was a few vehicles, so I didn't know, who... I suspected it would be her. I should have noticed that your car wasn't there, but I didn't notice that.
So. Okay, what kind of car do you drive?
An Infiniti QX80.
Black.
So you got to the house, and then you got there, he said, yeah, I deceived you, and then what was he calling you there for?
He wanted me to come over there and get some information about her, pretty much.
Oh, okay, what did he ask you?
He was asking, like, what's got into her, like,
Where is she?
Of course, I didn't say where she was. I didn't know where she was. She didn't actually.
I didn't tell anybody. She didn't tell her out because I just thought it was safer for everybody to know.
He just basically wanted me to take his side, I think, and just
told her how crazy I was and stuff like that. So.
What was your name?
Melanie.
Your last name?
Gibb.
G-I-B-B.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Just because for documentation later, what's your data?
So easy.
So he had you come there. I was asking you questions. So, is this something that's happened before, or is this
unfortunately, we've had to even go to hotels just to calms down or something, you know? So we've done that before.
What is it that motivates him doing this kind of stuff? Does he say one?
He just goes nuts sometimes. This time I caught him cheating, and I had evidence, and I told him about it. And he travels a lot for business, so. I told him about it and told him not to come home and that his stuff would be gone and that his car would be gone and all those things. So he's a little mad.
She's just trying to protect herself. Yeah. Okay.
But I just left with the kids because I didn't want them in all the drama.
So then you took your phone and purse, and has he tried to make contact with you since?
He's trying to contact me through her. I don't have a way to be contacted.
Yeah. And I didn't know what her phone. I couldn't contact her.
Nobody could contact me. I just went and bought a phone so I could have a phone, throwaway phone.
Have you called him to ask him if he'd bring your stuff back?
Well, he talked to her about it.
I said, would you be willing to give me the purse for Lori? You know? And he goes, no. Unless she does this, and all these things.
Don't speak in generalities. I need more specific.
He wants me to meet him at therapy today or something.
To meet him at therapy.
But he wasn't going to give you the purse. He just was saying he'd give it to me if I meet him there.
Okay.
Right. But I don't really want to talk to him today if I don't have to. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if we have him bring the purse back, are we all good? You're not willing to meet with him with a therapist or anything to try to get it back?
I don't want to meet with him because I don't know. He's very sneaky. So, what he'll do is meet me in the parking lot and mess around with me, whatever. Like, he's not going to just
let me walk into therapy. What if we call him and see if he'll come here and we can facilitate him giving your purse back?
That would be fine. You want to try that? I know he has it because he...
Obviously, he's texting her.
He's texting all my family and the kids, too.
Yeah, definitely has her phone. So we know it was him that took the purse because
What's he texting you?
I have the text. He was basically just texting me.
He's acting like that my son was in danger. I was worried about JJ's safety and things and texting her like he's going to.
So he at first texts me, you doing okay today? Hey, girl, are you okay? Please your mom. I may not be home for a bit. Love you. Sent me a strange link to a website about our church. Said this is what's happening. And then he texted me at almost midnight. I'm so, but I have no choice. I'm just in danger. I had no choice. He didn't file a police report or anything as far as we know. So I'm just assuming he was trying to get a response. And then I love you.
Police report about what?
Or I don't know. But he was acting like he did something.
And then those text messages came from, do you have it entered as mom's phone? Or?
No, that was from him.
That's before he didn't. That's before he didn't take the purse until 8:30. This was last night. When I was at school.
So that was from his mom.
And he was sending word for word the same text to my cousin.
What's his name?
Charles.
What's his phone number?
He has the same last name as you, I'm saying?
Yeah, okay. Bello. So my friend told me, my friend that's a police officer, he said, go file a report, file a restraining order, all stuff. I don't want to do all that stuff. I just wanted it to be on record. And if you can get the purse back, that would be lovely because all my stuff is in there. I'm really mad about my lip gloss.
About credit cards.
Well, he has all the cards and all this stuff. So he's mad because I took the money out of our account, but it's a joint account. So he wants me to give him money.
Okay. That's all a civil issue.
That's what I'm saying.
Purse? There's no reason why he's walking around with your purse, your ID. That he doesn't have a right to.
Right. That's what I'm saying. All the rest of the stuff is our joint stuff together.
Yeah.
So.
All right. We're going to leave the room temporarily. We're going to try to give him a call, see if we can't get this rectified.
That'd be great.
Thank you.
All right. You're welcome.
All
right. How are you? You want to try calling or you want me to call?
I don't know. This one's a little confusing for me, honestly.
Okay. All right. I love this call.
Oh, yeah. I would actually love.
Charles. Hello. Hi, this is Officer Edgerton, Gilbert PD. Is this Charles?
Hey, Charles. The reason why I'm calling right now is your wife's at the police department claiming you stole her purse and her cell phone. Okay, you realize they don't belong to you, correct? Okay, so that's a civil issue, and she's responsible for every penny when you guys, if you guys end up going through a divorce proceeding. Okay, and you also texted a friend to meet you at the house last night under the guise that you were her. What was that for? So you texted a friend of hers to meet you at the house last night. Using her cell phone. What was that all about? Oh, this morning? Okay. Yeah, we read the report from earlier today regarding you not being able to get into the house and everything, so... I do not have the order in front of me, so I cannot do that. It's got to be approved, and I know I cannot get her. Well, it's got to go to our sergeant, who's got to call, verify that it's good, and then we get dispatched. So that's just how the process works. And I can't keep somebody against their will without a warrant or the valid. Well, I'm telling you right now, we have a process. You come here, you turn it in, it goes to a sergeant. Sergeant calls the doctor. Okay, well I don't have that, and for all we know, it's not valid anymore. I do not know. What I'm concerned about. Yeah, well, that's not what I'm discussing a whole separate issue right now, and that's her getting her belongings back. Okay, you're saying it's at the house, which you changed the locks on, correct? So she doesn't have access to. Yes. So unless you want to be charged with theft, we need to get that purse back to her. If you want to come here with the purse and that order, we can get this all try to figure it out. And the purse. And her cell phone. Okay. So how soon can you be here? We're at the police department, 75 East Civic Center Drive, Gilbert and Warner. Thank you. All right, how long? All right, but he says he's coming. With the order.
So this should get interesting.
This is going to get really interesting.
I don't even know, so, all right. I guess this could, yeah.
He just goes nuts sometimes, but this time I caught him cheating, and I had evidence, and I told him about it, and he travels a lot for business, so I told him about it. I told him not to come home, and that his stuff would be gone, and that his car would be gone, Lori said. Well, that seems sufficient for the police. She said it, and it must be true, right? The police called Charles and asked him to return Lori's purse and inform him that it is against the law to take it. Charles brought the purse to the police station and contacted 911 to request that officers serve her with a mental health petition. Charles told the dispatcher that his wife has lost her marbles. After saying that an officer will call, dispatch hangs up. Charles phones again to confirm that she will receive the petition from the police. While Lori was at the police station, officers explained the mental health petition to Lori and advised her to visit Community Bridges if she wanted to resolve it. They reported that Charles was en route with the petition and purse. An officer wrote in the report, "During my contact with Lori, I found her to be in a normal state of mind, but only slightly upset. She did not have her property. Lori showed no signs of mental distress as she described what was occurring and appeared to be in a good mood. Talking with Lori's daughter and friend, they did not seem concerned for anything other than Lori getting her property back. He then slipped her a note and asked her to dinner at Applebee's that night." Okay, wait, that part didn't happen, but very well could have, you know, just saying. Another officer who wanted to get a hot date with Lori, another officer who talked with Charles that morning reported, "During my conversation with Charles, I found his demeanor to be strange for a person in his circumstances. He seemed more concerned with asking questions about the legality or financial withdrawals Lori had made than her alleged incoherence," the officer writes. Because who would be concerned about a crazy person having access to their finances? I mean, it's just money, right? I mean, that's just so extreme. Lori checked herself in for a medical evaluation on February 1st, 2019, and was discharged a few hours later. Those mental health people wanted to have a date with her, too. The following month, Charles filed an order of protection against his wife and provided more information on Lori's threats. He wrote, "She told me that she was a god and was assigned to carry out the work of the 144,000 at Christ's second coming in July of 2020. She said I was in the way and she would have to murder me if I tried to stop her." Less than 6 months later, Charles Vallow was murdered. Maybe the police should have taken this a little more seriously. Anyway, part three is coming to you next. It's called The Day Charles Died. Be sure to press subscribe wherever you download podcasts so you don't miss any of this story. Our breaking updates on the case, conversations on the coverage, and courtroom coverage as well. My name is Tony Bruschi. You can follow me on Twitter at TonyBPod, and you can also subscribe to our main podcast channel. It's called Hidden Killers. Search it wherever you download podcasts and press subscribe for more on this and many other stories of people like Lori Daybell. You can also get a commercial-free experience of this podcast and all of our podcasts when you sign up through Apple Podcasts. Even try it for 3 days free. Just press subscribe on Apple Podcasts and go ahead and get yourself that 3 free days and no commercials. Until next time, thanks for listening.